Our speaker today, who is Lynn Sadler from New Zealand, is here staying with me for 3 weeks. But Lynn and I know each other very well because we both taught together at Goldie College. Lynn taught there for 15 years. I taught there for 18 years. And we overlapped for 7 years and shared the same house. And we're still good friends, even despite that. So it's really good to have Lynn here to come and speak to us this morning. And later on, she's going to speak to us about the 23rd Psalm.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you. This morning I'm going to speak mainly about the first few verses from Psalm 23 and some other verses from the Bible. And I'm wondering, what do you think is the loneliest word in the English language? The loneliest word in the English language. It is the word one, isn't it? One, on your own. And it comes in the word lonely, in the word alone, and in the word abandoned. But we are not alone, are we? I'm very interested in something Philip Yancey wrote. When he first experienced the presence of God in his life, he said this: "Someone is there, I realized. Someone is watching life as it unfolds on this planet. More, someone is there who loves me." It was a startling feeling of wild hope, a feeling so new and overwhelming to me that it seemed fully worth risking my life on. And in fact, we know, don't we, that the Lord God is with us. He is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. We belong with him, and we belong together. I come from a very warm, loving, small, mainly elderly church in Christchurch, New Zealand. But we really care for one another, as I'm sure that you people do. And I want to talk mainly today about the sheep. What kind of sheep are we? First, let's think about David. David grew up looking after his father's sheep. He spent long nights in the fields near Bethlehem. And no doubt during those nights, his love relationship with God grew. He was a boy who knew how to worship and pray. He knew how to spend time in God's presence. He knew how to talk to God, and he knew how to listen for God's voice. He knew how to care for the sheep, and he knew that the Lord was his shepherd caring for him. And he sounds very happy about it too. "Look who I belong to. I belong to God, the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd." And so David became the great shepherd of Israel, and he wrote that wonderful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, what do we want? We might want something which is bigger than what we've got, or better, or faster, or newer, or more fashionable. But if our happiness comes from something we live in, or drive, or manipulate, or wear, then we are trapped in want, aren't we? Philip Keller talks about want, and he says, this has a much broader meaning than just not lacking anything. "I shall not want" means being utterly contented in the shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything more. David knew that what we have in God is greater than anything else we can ever have. Our shepherd gave himself to us. He gave us his presence, and he is what we need, and spending time with him is everything. And you know, what we have isn't really ours, is it? When Rockefeller died, and he was very rich, as you know, somebody asked a lawyer, "How much did he leave?" And the lawyer replied, "Everything." So because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, or he lets me rest in the meadow grass. Well, I come from New Zealand, which Sylvia knows is a country of sheep. Many, many sheep. And everywhere we travelled in New Zealand, we met truckloads of sheep, Sylvia. We've done that many times. Well, sheep are very interesting creatures. But it's almost impossible for sheep to lie down unless four requirements are met. Firstly, they must be free of fear. Secondly, they must be free from friction with others. Thirdly, they must be free from flies or parasites. And fourthly, they must be free from hunger. Well, we are the sheep. We live as a flock or a community, as a family. And our shepherd is protecting us, watching us, guarding us. So what do we need to be free of in order to rest peacefully with one another and with God? Well, first of all, fear. We need to be free of fear. Now, our fear could be fear of failure. It could be fear of change in our lives, or fear of the future. It could be fear of loss. We could have loss of home, or job, or family, or our health. And these are very real fears. But we have a shepherd who knows all about us and cares. And he wants us to say, like David, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you, Lord, alone make me dwell in safety and confident trust." And that comes from Psalm 4, verse 8. Now, when I was young, I used to be able to remember Bible verses really easily. Now that I'm old, I find it much harder. I can remember all the ones I learnt when I was young, but trying to remember them now is much more difficult. So I often use actions to help me to remember things. For example, this comes from Philippians 4, 6 and 7, and I'm sure the shepherd wants us to know this verse. And I use my fingers. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need. Thank him for all that he has done. And then you will experience God's peace, which is greater than anything you will ever understand." And I remember the verse by remembering the actions. There's another one I like. "I trust in God. I am not afraid. I will praise him for his promises. What can mere man do to me?" That's from Philippians 56:4. And you know, it happens strangely that if I find myself holding my thumb at any time, I automatically think, "Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, tell God what you need." And if I find myself clasping my hands, I automatically think, "I trust in God." And I think that's a good way to remember. What about the next one? Free from tension or friction with others of their kind. You can imagine the sheep saying, "You push me, you get out of my space, I want to be there." That's the kind of friction sheep might have. What about with us? Well, somebody else could be in the place we want to be, and we could feel a little jealousy or something. Because our personalities are different, our attitudes, our strengths and our weaknesses are different, we might feel tension. Some people work very quickly and others very slowly. Some make quick decisions and others want to ponder for a long time before they decide. And these differences can lead to the third thing which stops sheep from resting in peace, and that is aggravations, like little flies or parasites. And with us, those aggravations can be little painful stabs that hurt us. And maybe they are caused by the tongue. Often they are caused by the tongue. And we all know, because we are human, that gossip and criticism and misunderstandings can hurt us and stop us from resting in peace. They prevent us from benefiting fully as a group from the food of the green pastures, which is God's word, his teaching and his love. There was once a woman who hated gossip and criticism so much that whenever a visitor came to her house and said anything negative about anybody, she always said, "Come on, let's go and ask if this is true." And of course, the person would always say, "Oh no, we don't need to do that. Oh no, please, no, we won't do that." But she would insist, "Come on, let's go and find out if it's true. There might be another side to this. There might be another point of view." And after a while, nobody repeated a tale or voiced any criticism in her presence. And of course, for us, we need to think of that. We need to build up our friends and not tear them down. And another thing that occurred to me was sometimes we jump to conclusions very fast. We have a wee bit of evidence and we jump to a big conclusion. I have a friend called Pat, and recently we were at the hospital in the radiology department because Pat had to have an x-ray. So we were sitting there, and in front of us were all these x-ray booths. And while we were sitting there, a big white bed came past us. It went past us, and on the bed was an old lady with very white hair, and she was very thin, and the bed disappeared into the booth at the end. So Pat and I waited and we just watched, and after a while, the bed came out again from that booth and it went past us again. And there was an old lady on it with very white hair, but now she was very fat, very big. Well, we could have deduced from that evidence that that booth over there was a fattening up booth. It was for fattening people. And that's very silly, isn't it? But it's not any sillier than when we jump to conclusions and make judgments because we have a small piece of information. The trouble is that when we say something about someone which might or might not be true, somebody else hears it and they receive it as absolute truth. Abraham Lincoln had a riddle. He used to ask, "If a man were to call the tail of a dog a leg, how many legs would the dog have?" And the usual reply was, "Five." "Wrong," Lincoln would say. "The dog still has four legs. Calling the tail a leg doesn't make it so." And just because a tale may have been repeated many times by a lot of so-called reliable sources doesn't necessarily make it true. So you know, and I know, that we can hurt one another with our words. But worse than that, we can stop somebody else from appreciating someone. We might say something carelessly and we don't really mean it, but the other person hears it and they judge that other person. They judge that person because of what we have said. There's a very good story too about a trumpeter in an army who was captured by the enemy and they were going to put him to death. And he said, "Please spare me, don't kill me. I have no gun. I haven't committed any crime. I haven't killed anybody. I just have this little trumpet that I blow when I'm told to." "And that is the very reason why we are going to put you to death," the captor said, "because you don't fight yourself, but you stir others up to battle, and it causes many other people to kill." And so it is with our criticism. We might not hate, but we can cause other people to have bad feelings about others. Well, I think there's a very nice little saying here that someone called June Cunningham wrote. It says, "The critical person misses the sunshine and sees only the clouds." And that's true, isn't it? The critical person misses the sunshine and sees the clouds. Romans 12:8 says, "Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody." So, if we are not to live with aggravations and we are to rest peacefully with one another, what is the antidote to gossip and criticism? I'm sure you know it, and I'm sure you do it. It is appreciation of other people and encouragement of them. It is spreading good news about other people, noticing their gifts and their strengths and talking about that. It is speaking to the people and giving them words of affirmation, encouragement, help, and it is making room for them to use their gifts. And while we do this, the shepherd moves quietly amongst us, moving us, touching us, and encouraging us. There's an old hymn, "He bids us build each other up, and gathered into one to our high callings, glorious hope, we hand in hand go on. Sheep also need to be free from hunger. That's the fourth thing. They rest when they have eaten. And we need to spend a lot of time in the green pastures of God's word. We are restless if we are hungry, if we haven't come to him and read his word. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me by the quiet streams and gives me strength. The green pastures are his word. The still waters, I think, are the Holy Spirit. The waters are still because the Holy Spirit, as well as stirring us up and moving us, also brings us peace. The Holy Spirit can speak to us at any time, but it's really, really good to have quiet times when we just sit and listen to the voice. I've been reading James W. Goll and Charles Spurgeon, and they both say, the quiet waters of the Spirit bring rest to our souls. We can be cleansed, refreshed, renewed, cherished, fertilized and equipped, not just for our own sake, but for his sake. In this world, we walk with the shepherd. We have a mortal starting point at birth when we're born. We have a mortal finishing point when we die. That's a terminal point. And in the meantime, we're walking on the path. It doesn't matter where we are on the path. As we walk with the shepherd, our main purpose, I think, is to fit in with his big plan. Yes, we have plans for ourselves and he has plans for us, but he has a big plan that he wants us to fit in with. He wants us to dream his dreams, seek his guidance, walk with him. I like the message from Philippians 4, 6 and 7. The message version says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. And that's the sheep can settle peacefully. Faith. When I was very young, I believed that faith was saying, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and I will follow his teaching, the shepherd's teaching. And that is still part of faith, but it's not enough. I believe now that faith is a steady process of opening our conscious and unconscious minds through prayer to the Holy Spirit. You know, everything we do, we're thinking about. Everywhere we go, thoughts are flowing through our minds. Sometimes they are worried thoughts, sometimes they are excited thoughts. But if we can turn those thoughts to God as we go, we are beginning to move towards praying without ceasing, which is what we are asked to do. It's very difficult, but the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and we give our lives to the shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, and he wants us to hear his voice more and more and know him more. But what about if we don't hear his voice? What if we say, I'm listening for the shepherd's voice, but I don't hear him? It might be that our desire is wrong. It might be that he's not saying what we want him to say. We will hear him if we go to him willing to hear whatever he wants to say. If we desire to catch his dream and say, yes, Lord, to it, to that dream. And so I'd finish with this. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is, right now, my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd.